This episode of Okie Podcast is brought to you by Southwest Trading Company. If you have not been to Southwest Trading Company, please go do that right now or after this podcast. But the location for Southwest Trading Company is 1306 East 11th Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Southwest Trading Company has so many items from so many different artists, like jewelry, art, blankets, cedar boxes, clothing, collectibles. You name it, they got it. So why not shop at Southwest Trading Company? Go like the Facebook page, follow the Facebook page, to keep up with all new events coming at the store and items. And once again, that location is 1306 East 11th Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go check them out and let them know Russ from Okie Podcast sent you. This podcast is brought to you by Native Co. Gallery, an indigenous-owned business. They offer turquoise jewelry, beadwork, pottery, and Pendleton. You can also shop jewelry and Pendleton on their website at www.nativecogallery.com or in-store at 516 West 12th, Ada, Oklahoma. And let them know Russ from Okie Podcast sent you. Welcome back to Okie Podcast. And on this episode, I have a very special guest. He is the hottest stand-up comedian, magician, and ventriloquist working today. Today, I have Andy Gross. Man, thank you so much for coming on today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Man, I appreciate your time. I appreciate all y'all reaching out to me. And Coming on the podcast, man, you know, and it really brightened my day, and it gave me something to look forward to. And so Great. Just thank you once again. Thank you.
Sure, of course.
Thank you. And well, we'll get into what you got going on this weekend, but reading a little bit about you, you live in LA right now.
Right.
But you're originally from St. Louis?
Yeah, St. Louis, Missouri. So I grew up in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. And you were born there, and then you lived there until...
I you know what? I like Missouri. I actually love Missouri. It's a great place. St. Louis especially was great where I grew up. But when I turned 18, I said, I'm out of here. So I didn't like it that much. But, I mean, it's a great town to grow up in. It really is. Yeah. You have the good Midwestern roots and a good family. Great place to raise kids. It really is. But for what I was doing... It was time for me when I turned 18, 19, just to make the move either to New York, maybe, or Los Angeles. And I chose the better weather. So,
which way did you go?
I went to better weather, Los Angeles.
So you went straight to LA.
Which I'm one of the crazy few that still enjoys Los Angeles. I really do. I mean, you know, there's a lot of negative things you hear about it, but for the most part, it's great. I do like it here. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have... A lot of people complain mostly about the traffic, but thank God I don't have like a regular 9-to-5 job, so I don't have to be sitting in that 2-hour traffic, you know, each way every day. So that's one perk for me.
Very true. Yeah, I went to San Diego when I was like 16, I think, and
yeah, love San Diego. It's beautiful,
and the traffic was crazy. I mean,
the traffic. I mean, every once in a while, of course, I get stuck in it. It's just hard to fathom that you go 7 miles in 2 hours. It's like, huh? I flew into a show in Idaho not too long ago, and I landed at the airport like about 5 p.m. So I said to the guy, I go, I got to be at the Civic Center, you know, like at 6. And he's like, Civic Center's clear across town. I'm going to have some traffic this time of the day. I don't know. And I was like, okay. And I got in the rental car, and I literally drove like, it seemed like 5 minutes, 6 minutes. And I looked up, and it said Civic Center. And I go, this can't be. And it was. I mean, traffic to them was like me leaving my neighborhood. It was like 4 cars in front of me, and it was maybe 5 miles down the street. But he said it's clear across town, and you're going to hit a lot of traffic. To them, it was. To me, it was like, this is great. It took me 5 minutes to get here. So, And gas prices aren't fun right now either. We're paying $5.20 a gallon for regular.
Wow.
So,
Yeah. Yeah, they've gone up. They've gone up. It's about 3:29 here.
is it?
So,
It's well. That's
yeah.
yeah. But I think I paid $5.20. So $2 more. It's
Yeah, that's
buy a horse.
insane.
A horse
That's
and buggy
insane.
pretty soon.
That's what I thought about. I thought about getting me a horse and just riding around town, just
I don't
kicking it
drive
old
as much
school.
as I used to drive anymore because in Los Angeles, it's so big. I mean, it's so spread out. Before COVID, it seems like, between my wife and the kids and running around, we were driving, 150 miles a day or more. And now, for whatever reason, it's just things have changed and I don't drive as much. By the time I'm out of town so much, and I tell you what it was my kids were in the entertainment too. They were doing some stuff. So they would go to these auditions down in Hollywood that my wife would run them to. And so you end up driving a ton of miles and sitting in traffic. So not as much anymore because of COVID. You do most of these on Zoom now. You can do Zoom interviews and auditions. You send in your self-tapes, they call them. So they don't have to be there quite as much now.
Very true. Yeah, COVID changed a lot of things, and
For good and bad.
exactly. But it's allowed us to connect with people out of states, and have meetings, or I mean, working remotely. I mean, there's all kind of things that came out of COVID,
Yeah.
I guess, where we can connect more. But really, I mean, it took away that personal face-to-face away,
Absolutely.
right?
It
But
hurt. It hurt for what I did because for the longest time when my kids were young, one of the things I would do would be corporate shows. So these corporations would hire me to come in and entertain at all their events and their parties and their, award ceremonies. And they were so great because, they're usually huge companies. And they have them in these great venues all around these exotic places all around the country and even out of the country. And they fly in, they treat you like a rock star, pay you well, and you do their big events, do a show for them. But after COVID, those all stopped. And most of those shows have not really still come back. It was in-person big meetings. Now they can do Zooms and different things. And so I hope one day those will come back full force, but I'm not sure they will, Because they were bread and butter for me. I mean, those were great. I would do four of those a month, and it was made. And it was you fly in. I'd take a red eye many times from California to like let's say Michigan, get there 5 in the morning, sleep during the day, do the show that night, get an early morning flight, and pick up 3 hours going west. And the kids were like, "Were you even gone?" I was like, "Yeah, I was gone. Did a show, picked up my check, and I'm happy, But not anymore. Those days are gone."
Well, never say never. I mean,
Yeah, it'll come back. I mean, they're back somewhat, but just not quite for me how they were,
I mean, yeah, a lot of things are coming back. A lot of things are getting back to normal. I mean, but yeah, I was reading about that, and then you did a lot of cruise ships. You would perform on cruise ships.
I
Is
was
that
doing
still
some
a
cruise ships as well. Yeah. And those all obviously shut down. And so I haven't been back on a cruise ship, since before COVID. I haven't done that. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nothing.
Oh, wow.
I never did a ton of cruise ships. I liked them, but I just they weren't my favorite thing to do. So that one didn't bother me as much as the corporate events did because those were great. They were great. You just have 500 to 1,000 people in these big, beautiful banquet rooms with these nice setups that it didn't almost get better than that. They were wanting this entertainment, so it was really nice.
Yeah, that sounds awesome, man.
Yeah, the only thing was
And
with the corporates were. They didn't drink as much because a lot of times these corporate events, they didn't have any alcohol. So remember, you go to a comedy club or you go to these other venues where they're drinking, the more you drink, the funnier I am. So, so sometimes, the hardest ones were to do a corporate event at 12, even 11 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes they'd have them. They'd say, "Okay, we're going to have our big show 11 o'clock on, Tuesday morning." It's like, so everybody is like listening to all these crazy meetings, and then all of a sudden a comedian comes out to entertain them. They weren't really sure what to think of that sometimes, They hadn't drank. They were just sitting at 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm telling jokes. It was like, who is this guy? And sometimes they thought it'd be fun to surprise them. We're not going to tell them that they're having a comedian. They're going to think you're going to come out and start talking more statistics and numbers with them. And then you're going to go into comedy. I'm like, great. These people are. So it took them 15 minutes to just find out what I was even doing up there. So,
Yeah, just hella early. Just hella early up there. Oh man.
If you could get, if you got good at those, then you can pretty much win any crowd, you know.
True, very true. Yeah, there's a lot of tough crowds out there, man. There's a lot of yeah. I tried my hand at stand up a little bit, and
Did you?
it gets intimidating when nobody's like into you, and it's
Oh,
just like, oh my gosh, what do I do? What
there's
do
nothing worse when you're up there and you just hear those crickets, you know. And you think it's going to be so funny in your
Yeah.
mind. You've got the, you've played this thing 1,000 times in your mind, how funny it's going to be, how great it's going to be. And you get up there and it's just silence. And then all of a sudden, you just start feeling that sweat, the heat of the back of your neck. It's like, uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Is
What
that my
I try to
life?
do now is I've done it so long that, you know, I have my solid material. So every, I try new stuff all the time. I'll throw in like a 3-minute new bit. And if it's bombing, I'll just kind of abort and go right back to the stuff I know for sure. So it's not so bad, but when you're first starting and you don't have anything to fall back on that you know will work, it's pretty tough up there sometimes.
Yeah, it can be.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's like, is that my light? I gotta go. Is
Right.
that
You're
my
like, no, you've only been on 30 seconds.
Now, did stand up come first, or did everything just kind of?
Bizarre. I had a strangest background. I don't know if you knew about it, but I had played professional racquetball. No joke. Everyone's like, I didn't know they had that. And they did. It was big. It was almost like I compare it to what pickleball is today. That's what racquetball was like in the 80s. So when I started, I was only like 15 years old. I was youngest ever to get on the pro tour. And I was playing racquetball on this pro tour. So that seemed like that was going to be my future, just sports. But as a kid, I went with my dad. We were talking about our parents earlier. With my dad, I went and saw the movie Magic with Anthony Hopkins and Anne Margaret. And it was about, he played a deranged ventriloquist where the dummy would come to life and kill people. So
Whoa.
I thought, I saw that, I was 9 years old, and I go, you know what? I, that would be something good to learn, could come in handy later in life, you know, have the dummy do all the dirty work for me. But I thought it was so cool, the ventriloquism, that I got caught with that bug of just wanting to learn that ventriloquism. I did, went to the library, studied on how to become a ventriloquist, even ordered a course in the mail. One of those old things that fool your friends, be the life of the party, throw your voice. Ordered that, learned how to do this, really worked. And then magic just kind of fell into place. So as a kid, from 9 on, I got into magic ventriloquism, but always as a hobby. It seemed like sports was where I was going. That was my career. And it was until I was about 25, and I'm in California, and racquetball died. The sport, I mean, I went from making great money, endorsements, contracts, playing tournaments and
Wow.
clinics, and then all of a sudden, all the sponsors pulled out. And I hadn't gone to college because here I am as a young guy making great money, and I thought this is going to be forever. And then I, at 25 in California, I go, now what do I do? And I go, wait a second, I've got this hobby, magic, ventriloquism. I'm gonna go to an open mic night. So I went to open mic comedy night, and it went well. My very first one went pretty good, except the guy said, you know, this is a comedy club. We love what you did, but can you be funnier? So then when you ask about what came first, so I had to work on making the magic funny if I was gonna play comedy clubs. And I kept coming back, you know, I'd add little bits and pieces, and before long he would say, hey, come back and can you middle? I'd be the middle act now instead of the opener, then I'd be the middle. And then he had me headlining, and then I started doing more theaters, some cruise ships like you're talking about, and never looked back after that. And corporate shows fell into place, which I loved. And then I never looked back, and thank God I've, you know, been able to somewhat raise 4 kids. They're okay.
Yeah, I was reading about the racquetball,
Yeah,
and
it's strange.
it's crazy how you said it just died. I mean, it just,
Well,
it just kind of.
my take on it was the fastest growing sport in the country. It was just like pickleball is today. Now, I think pickleball could maybe have a better chance, and the racquetball guys might hate me for saying this, you know, but racquetball, this is the reason I think it didn't advance more is because we hit the ball so hard. We hit it 150 miles an hour, so the camera couldn't pick it up. It looks on television, it just doesn't play off well. You know, and so the big sponsor said, look, you guys are playing for thousands of people, but we need to be able to play in front of millions of people like tennis. And you couldn't televise the sport because it was so, the ball was so fast. It just didn't look great. Now, live, this is one of the best spectator sports you'll ever see, racquetball. A great racquetball match live is absolutely incredible to watch, especially more so today, because these young guys, I've seen a few of them recently, these guys are diving all out dives. I mean, two, three, four times per rally. And it's incredible to watch, because I always say, my gosh, if somebody would dive in tennis, that would make, or even at baseball, they dive for a great catch, that would make the highlight reel for a month. You know, these guys are diving like that, all out dives, three or four times per rally, which is phenomenal. You're hitting the ball behind their backs, between their legs, diving across the court. It's pretty athletic and talented guys. I wish racquetball would, you know, make a comeback somehow, because it's a great sport. And I loved it growing up, and it was good to me, but never hit the television is what really hurt it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, racquetball is you're hitting it into a wall, right? And it's bouncing
Yes.
back. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So you're in a big rectangular box, basically. And we started playing in these, what we call like giant fish bowls. They had these portable glass courts that they would put up, you know, in big places where you could get 4 or 5,000 people watching, with the stadium seating, and they'd put the big glass courts up. They'd build them for the weekend. And you really couldn't see out, but the spectators could see in. It was like a two-way glass, almost like it wasn't mirror, but it was just kind of tinted on the inside, so you could kind of see the ball. And that worked. That was great. But still, again, you're not hitting millions and millions of people like you would in a tennis match. Or even I've seen pickleball recently on ESPN and all the different sports channels that they're televising it now. So, because you can watch it and see what's happening. Racquetball is just like boom, 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 and it's just so quick. That's the problem.
I've never watched a pickleball. Is that so? Is pickleball two people playing against each other, or is that the same thing as maybe racquetball but slower?
Pickleball is outside, mainly outside. It doesn't have to be, but it's like tennis, just like tennis. You're hitting, but it's like a miniature tennis court. And the rules are different, of course. There's a different ball and a different paddle you're using, like a paddle. And pickleball people hate when you say it, but it's basically a wiffle ball, is what
Oh,
they
okay.
use. But you don't call it a wiffle ball. You don't call it a wiffle ball. It's a pickleball. So they get mad. They get offended by that. But it is. It's a pickle. It's a wiffle ball. And it's a little slower. But at the same time, I've seen some of these pros playing now, and it's pretty remarkable what they're doing too. And there's more injuries amongst adults ages 65 and over in the last few years than ever before. More emergency room visits and urgent cares because of so many injuries. So many people are playing. This is, 65-year-old everybody in Florida. There's a pickleball court on every corner in Florida now, Well, so it's fun. I played it. It's a fun game. It's fun.
I haven't watched it. I haven't watched pickleball, but I've heard about it. I've noticed the skyrocketing of pickleball just becoming so popular, and I don't know, I just never looked into it, I guess, but
I mean, celebrity, a lot of celebrities. Like the old day when we did racquetball, there were a ton of celebrities playing. And same thing with pickleball, tons of celebrities are playing. Now, John McEnroe has been playing. He says he doesn't like it, but yet he's playing in all these pickleball tournaments, against Andre Agassi. So it's kind of neat to see the old tennis guys come out and play pickleball, because it's kind of related, but it is di totally different game. But, you're still hitting a ball over the net. And they still have that great hand-eye coordination and racket control. So, me never playing, just walking out there for the very first time, I was, a halfway decent advanced player, is what's kind of neat. And it's also, if you've never played before, it's a little bit slower. And if you don't have that much athletic ability, people can still pick this up and enjoy it. So I think that's another reason it does so well. Kind of like racquetball. I mean, in a way, people, you didn't have to really know what you were doing. You can get out there and get a pretty good workout.
But not so fast for pickleball, I guess. You can kind of go at, I mean, it can be, but you can go at your own pace. You could,
Yeah, right. For the most people, it's a dink, 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 dink. Or you keep hitting back and forth over the net, these little soft shots over the net until somebody misses. And, of course, if you go to the pro level, they're starting to really hit it hard right at you. So
I have to give it a shot, man. Like, 'cause,
it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. I mean,
I was just worried about how fast it may be,
no, it's
or
not. When you first time you play, you'll be surprised. If you play with someone, that's relatively new too, you'll enjoy it because it's easy to pick up and it's fun. It really is a fun game.
We'll have to try it out. That'd be
Yeah.
something for us to try out in the summertime. Well, I like that once racquetball went away, I like how you still managed to, not stop. You were doing racquetball, you were really successful, you were winning all these tournaments, you were
Yeah.
endorsed, all these things were happening, and all of a sudden, it just stopped. And so stuff like that, I mean, it can really get to you. It can really get to your mind of like, oh, what am I going to do?
Oh,
Like
I was
it
worried.
really stresses you out,
Yeah, I mean, your whole life. I mean, from the time I was 7 years old, my daily routine was playing racquetball, 4 hours a day. So, and our parents would run with us to all the tournaments, the local around, Missouri and the whole Midwest. And that was it. That was life for me. Racquetball, racquetball, racquetball. And then all of a sudden, to find out when you're 25 and after you hadn't gone to college, then what do you do? I always joke, I go, isn't the natural progression for everybody to go from racquetball to ventriloquism? This is pretty normal, right? A professional racquetball player, now I'm a ventriloquist. It's a little odd, but hey, I love it.
Totally normal, totally
Yeah.
normal. And then so it, I mean, just and then starting that with the comedy club, giving it a shot of open mic.
Yeah.
What was that experience like? Your very first time, where you do you think racquetball may have, because like a lot of athletes do, like they're not afraid to get in front of people, they're not afraid to showcase what they do, but
Right.
I mean, but when you transition into people just looking at you and you're on a stage, I mean, was there any different type of way you
Well,
felt?
that's a good question because here's the thing, and you're right about it. The racquetball did help somewhat because, I was so used to playing in front, 1,000, 2,000 people watching as you went out there to basically perform and play. But it was different because I knew what I was doing in racquetball. I mean, I knew I was good. In comedy, I didn't know I was good. I had no clue. So when you're first starting in comedy, you're right. People are looking at you, and boy, when you do a joke and nobody laughs, there's nothing harder than that. Now, the one thing I always talk about that I have that some straight comedians don't have is if they do a joke and you get no laugh, they're just, that's it. But at least I had a magic trick to back it up. So if it wasn't funny, there was still some entertainment of the trick would work. And I knew I could do the trick. If I pick a card, I'd find that person's card. At least they'd say, oh, you found the card. That's good. They might not laugh at the routine, but they would at least know that the trick wasn't a total bomb. So I knew I could do that. So that helped me a little bit. But I'm telling you, if I would have been, just been straight stand up, it's that might even be harder in a way. I don't know. I mean, some people would say to me too early on, a lot of comedians. And even comedy clubs, the owners will look at a prop act. They call us a prop because we have a dummy or a deck of cards, and they don't, they look down upon that. They want pure stand-up comedy. And some comedy clubs wouldn't even hire a guy that does magic or ventriloquism or like Carrot Top, or Gallagher that does a, or Jeff Dunham that has a puppet. He used to even talk about it where people wouldn't let him come into the comedy clubs because he had a puppet. And now he's like the king of comedy. So it's like, well, who knows?
Man, I didn't know it was so, I mean, like that, like, right? Like,
Yeah,
well, I
some
mean,
comedians really look down upon it. They're like, well, guys, if you were real, you'd get rid of that. And they would try to tell me, just do stand-up comedy. Get rid of the, you're using the magic or the puppets as a crutch. And it was not even close to that. It was, I had learned it since I was nine, and I just liked it. So it had nothing to do with a crutch. It was just the fact that I enjoyed it. I liked it. That's what I wanted to do.
And then, so you started learning magic at 9, you said?
I was about 9 years old, yeah, when I saw that movie Magic. Is there a picture back there? It is. It's with Anthony Hopkins and Anne Margaret. I don't know if you, oh, you can't see it right here. I was pointing at the screen. Yeah, those Anthony Hopkins. I got all these things I surround myself with, weird stuff. Yeah, it was, it's, you know what? If you have a chance, oh wait, here's another picture of it too. There's a picture over there. See it? This one?
Well, yeah, right there, yeah.
That's the actual poster for the movie. So if you get a chance, you get a chance, I think you'd enjoy that movie. It's a I think it still holds up today. It's called Magic with Anthony Hopkins, and it's a great film. It really is.
I have to check that out.
Yeah, it's I think it's probably on one of the streaming networks. Yeah, look that up because He was fantastic in that, like he's all, you know, everything. But he really played the part of that crazy ventriloquist, and his manager agent was Burgess Meredith, and he was great there too, of course. So it's a fun movie. Yeah.
You said the doll comes alive.
Well, in his mind, it came to
Oh, in
life.
his
In his mind. But for
okay.
me, when I was 9 watching it, I thought maybe I couldn't quite figure it out. Is the dummy coming alive? But it was just in this guy's mind, and he was doing well, you know.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right. Don't spoil it anymore. I want
Yeah,
to
which, you know, they always do that
watch
with ventriloquists. They make us seem like we're, you know, schizophrenic, or we got multiple personalities and or deranged of some sort. And that's not true. It's not true at all.
Twitching around.
Yeah. Multiple personalities. Who would say that? No, we don't. No. He's me. No. My favorite thing is when you throw your voice, it sounds like, let's see if I can do that. Kind of weird.
Whoa, what? Hold on now.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah, I read that too. Throwing your voice.
It's fun. That's the most fun I've had. My goal as a kid was, I said, I want to learn how to throw my voice and make it sound like it's coming from far away, or it's trapped in a closet, or in, you know, the trunk of a car. And I used to have so much fun because if you don't know it's me, it really fools you. And I've had, when I was doing the racquetball with all the guys, you know, we'd have these cars or like a van that would come pick us up to take us to the matches. And they all knew I could do this, so I would throw my voice, and we'd get the limo driver, the bus driver stopping, looking in the trunk and thinking someone was in the trunk or on the roof of the car. And these guys were just losing it. You know, they couldn't believe it. And oh, I've had an incredible time with that. In school, I would do it. And you got so good, I could almost page myself out of class. I mean, just weird stuff. And teachers would go and scream at the other teachers because their students were screaming, making noise. So it was pretty wild.
What?
Yeah.
So did you so you were learning this when you're learning magic as well, I
Yeah,
guess. Yeah.
the ventriloquism actually came first.
Oh yeah.
She saw that movie Magic, and it was all, he was a magician in there, is why they call it magic. And then he had the dummy. The whole thing's really about the dummy, though. And so that caught me first. And then I had a friend right after I saw that movie show me a couple card tricks. And then I just got into both. So magic, almost the same time. Magic might have come 6 months later. Yeah. But my goal was, my thing was, I want to learn to throw my voice. I just thought it was so cool. And so I got, you know, pretty good at that. Because there aren't many ventriloquists that really make it sound like it's coming from far away. Most of them are guys like Jeff Dunham that work with a puppet, which is really cool and great. He's got great characters, but I wanted to make it sound like it was coming from really far away. And there's only a handful of people that do that right now, so kind of take pride that I could do it.
Well, I was wondering what that was. I mean, when they said you threw your voice, and I just kind of figured ventriloquist, you know, that's the puppet talking. But what you just did, it was, I've never seen anything like that or heard anything like that where I didn't even, because your mouth wasn't moving, nothing was
Yeah, it's
moving,
like,
and it sounded so far away.
well, let's see if I can't do this. Like this, you go. Right now,
Okay.
hello?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's
That's awesome.
pretty crazy. Yeah, that's fun. I mean, working with a puppet and everything is cool too, but you're not really throwing your voice, as opposed to making it sound like when far away. And anyone can learn this too. I mean, a lot of people always said you need a special talent, or born with a special, you know, voice box or something, and you don't. Anyone can really learn. It's hard on the voice to learn it, but once you got it down, it's fun. I like to throw my voice at funerals.
Oh yeah.
Said, let me out, I'm not dead yet.
Oh
Can you imagine? Help me, let me out.
Everybody, oh my gosh, she's still here. I knew it. Yeah,
No, I don't do it there.
no, don't do it. But dude, like, who, where did you, like, so I mean now, now, you know, like we have available resources, right? Like YouTube, TikTok, and there's magicians on there and they, you know, tell how to do stuff, teach you how to do stuff as well. Like, where did you learn how to do all these?
It's so much easier today. In the old days, I had to actually go. Well, first, I went to the library, and there was only a handful of books. I mean, maybe five or six books on ventriloquism. That was it that I could find in the local library. And then I found a course, like I said, in the mail, and there was a ventriloquist school in Colorado at the time called, and I think they're still there, called Mayer Ventriloquist Studios. And they would sell a course on how to throw your voice and do ventriloquism. And they would teach you everything, how to build a dummy, how to create the characters, how to write a routine, how to do your breath control and make sounds and mimic sounds. And I took this course, and that was the main thing that taught me how to do ventriloquism. But you're reading these books, and at back then, you would actually, I had a tape recorder, a little cassette, and I would record myself and send it into this school. And the guy would listen to it, and he'd listen to it, and then he'd give you answers on the tape and send it back to you. So I would wait, you know, every month for my little cassette tape to come back with my with him telling me how I was doing. I was only 9, 10, 11 years old. And it was pretty exciting. But now it's so easy, right? You go right online and there's tons of stuff on how to throw your voice and how to talk without moving your lips. It's so much easier today. The thing I do hate is what you said, how many people are exposing magic. I never understand that. Why expose it, but they are, you
Yeah,
know.
I come across a lot of just tricks, you know, and then it's like not necessarily teaching, it's, you know, this is how they do it.
Right.
This is the trick, you know. And it's always like, you know, I remember going back because I love magic, you know.
Yeah.
I love watching it. I love being just stunned, I guess, tricked. I love all that goes into it, right? And so,
Right.
and I always hear like magicians, like, you know, don't ever tell, you know, don't ever say, don't ever, you know,
Yeah.
all, you know, like, but to keep it, because once you know it, like once I saw something on TikTok that was exposed, then I was
Right.
like, oh man, like it's just
It's
kind of
not
ruined for
fun.
me.
I know. It's horrible. It's horrible when they do that. It really does hurt it because I always talk about, you know, just come out. Enjoy it. You know it's not real. It's just a form of entertainment. I mean, why people come out, it's almost like when the people come out and they start pointing and talking how the trick is done during the show, I'm like, is this the same guy that goes to the ballet and trips the dancers? You know, you wouldn't do that, right? You're dancing entertainment. Why come mess up the magician? We're just entertaining. It's all it is.
True.
And then it comes down to, you know, people exposing it. They go, has it really hurt? And you know, there's so many people that I see a lot of that stuff because I look up magic online, but I bet you a lot of people aren't going home searching how to do a trick. They may come to my show and they may wonder right afterwards, boy, how do you do that? I'll go home and Google that. But by the time they get home, they forget about it. They don't even look it up. A lot of people don't want to know. They just want to be a kid and mesmerized for an hour and just suspend their disbelief. So, you know, there's always going to be a handful of people that will look it up and see how to do it. And then I go back to one thing. This is the most important thing of all. A lot, even if you know how the trick is done, it comes down to the presentation of the trick. Because I'll go to a magic show and I know 99% of all tricks. But if it's done well and if it's funny, you know, and I could see the same trick. I could see, you know, three magicians do the same exact trick, and most magicians do the same tricks. And they all do a different presentation, though. So it's how they perform it that makes it funny or makes it really exciting. That's the big thing. You know, so I that's why I want a comedy in mind. Because you might know a couple tricks that I do, but you might still be laughing throughout the whole thing. And that's the most important thing, you know.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, just to be, you know, keep that entertaining, you know, like that's what I enjoy, you know,
Yeah,
and
I like people when they leave my show to say, wow, we didn't know it was going to be that funny. Because they're expecting to see magic, and they're seeing magic, but it's comedy. Comedy first and foremost is what I like.
I mean, like looking at your show and, you know, watching your videos and but there's no shows on YouTube, you know, because I know you're on tour and everything, but You know, just reading about it, right? Like, there's so much you bring to your shows. You know, it's throwing your voice, it's ventriloquism, it's magic, it's stand up. It's a lot of things that you get for what you're paying for, right? Like, it's not just one single thing. You know, you're doing a lot of things, and
Right.
you know, it's and that's amazing, man, to be able to take that on the road to different places and just like showcase that, like
Yeah, I
everything you've
appreciate
worked
that.
for.
Yeah. I appreciate you recognizing that because a lot of times people, they don't understand that I'm doing comedy, magic, and ventriloquism. And even some people get confused, like, wait a minute, are you a comedian? Are you a magician? Are you a ventriloquist? And it's kind of all three. You know, it really is combining all three of them because I feel that, and I think over the years I've gotten pretty good at, I'll do some regular comedy and then I'll switch it up if they're starting to get a little bored, do some magic. And then right when they're getting used to that, then I'll switch and do some ventriloquism. And I'll keep changing it up so the audience is kind of always on their toes. They don't know what's coming next. And I think that kind of keeps the act fresh. A little different from what you might see if you go see a straight comedian and he's talking, for an hour and a half versus I keep changing back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, it's works for me. So I'm, thankful.
Yeah. And so this tour, when did you start this new tour?
What was that now?
Oh, when did you start this new tour?
Let's see. It seems like it's a never-ending tour, but it's about a year and a half ago
Oh,
that I
yeah.
had a tour called Andy Gross, Are You Kidding Me? Because that was the title of a show, like a pilot show, a TV show that we were working on called Are You Kidding Me? And it was all about my magic pranks and jokes and stuff that I was messing with people. And so we just called the tour the same thing, Are You Kidding Me? And so it's been
Nice.
about at least a year and a half now that I've been touring with this one.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I take my own breaks. It's not like, well, I'll go out for like 6 months and then stop. Kind of a consistent tour. But I may take a week or two off here or there and then be right back on the road. So it's almost year round, really. I'm on the road probably 200 plus weeks out of the year. I mean, 200
Wow.
days out of the year.
Yeah.
So a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot, yeah.
It is. I'm out there, which I
Yeah.
love, which, I do love it. It's kind of my life. It was, from the racquetball days, I was on the road almost every day traveling. And then I stopped for a short time and I was like, I gotta get back on the road. I gotta get on the road. And then this comedy stuff allowed me to do that. And it's good because I can pretty much pick and choose where and when I'm going. And like I said, the corporate shows were fantastic. When my kids were really little, I would do these corporate events and those are one day shows. So I'd fly in that day, do the show, fly home the next day, and I was good. And I would just do, three or four of those a month and I was okay. And I'm here I am home with the kids a lot and got to spend a lot of time with them. Now that they're older and corporate shows aren't as around as much, I'm doing more touring. Yeah, but they don't care about me anymore. They're like, all right, you're gone. They got their own lives. I mean, they're not old, but still, they're not little babies anymore. That, they got their own things going on too.
Yeah. And then, well, I was going to ask you too, well, you're coming to Tulsa and on Saturday. Now, is this your first time coming to Oklahoma?
At that club, yeah, Tulsa Comedy Club, yes.
You've been in
So,
Oklahoma before, though?
yeah, I've done quite a bit in Oklahoma.
Have you?
Even the corporate
Whoa.
days, I was doing a lot. But
Oh,
sure,
nice. Which, here in Tulsa or just everywhere in Oklahoma?
funny. Racquetball had a big tournament in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So every year, it was the second or third tournament of every season in racquetball. We go to Tulsa. It was a big, t t I think it was called the Tulsa Athletic Club back then. I don't know, probably gone. But so I used to go to Tulsa quite a bit. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you know what it's like over here then.
Oh,
It's
yeah. Oh,
just,
yeah.
yeah, it's an awesome city. Lots to do, lot of good food, lot of great
Is,
things.
right? It's a
Yeah.
great town.
It's grown a lot from, back when I was growing up, 'cause I mean, there was a lot happening, but I mean, now there's so much going on. Music,
Yeah.
comedy shows, casino life. I mean, there's all kind of things happening
So
in
you were born and
Tulsa.
raised in Tulsa?
I'm from Pawnee, Oklahoma,
Okay.
which is a
Oh.
small town. Oh, well, you probably know where that is, right? It's a small
Shawnee?
town. No,
Shawnee?
Pawnee.
Okay.
Pawnee, it's
Yeah.
kind of by Cleveland, Oklahoma. It's
Okay.
about an hour and 10 minutes away from here, but I grew up there. It's a very small town. Great community, great, everybody I know is there, and grew up there. I moved away from there in 2007 to
Yeah.
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay.
I lived there for about 8 years. I moved back here in Oklahoma, but to Tulsa back in 2015. So I've
Wow.
been in Tulsa since 2015.
Yeah. I like it there. I really do. I like it. You know, I like what I like touring. I just like being on the road, meeting new people and meeting great people. One of the things I like the most is when I go to small to mid-sized towns. It's kind of fun. These old theaters. I play a lot of these old venues that were old vaudeville theaters or even old movie theaters that they're about to be torn down, and some businessman will come in, or the city will come in and put millions of dollars into it and restore these old vaudeville theaters. And they're just go. I mean, they just make them beautiful, these old theaters. And then they keep the arts alive. They bring in acts like me and a lot of other acts, and the whole town will come out to support this. So I'll play these old, beautiful vaudeville theaters where, Abbott and Costello were at, and some old acts. And they're beautiful, and maybe you get 1,000 people will come out because the whole town wants to come out to see these acts because they don't get huge, big acts like that often. So when I play them, nothing is better than playing a beautiful venue. The sound is incredible. Many of these venues are built so perfect that you don't even need a microphone. In a big venue of 1,500 people, just the way the acoustics are, and the lighting is perfect, and again, gorgeous, and people come out and have a great time. That's like the funnest thing for me that you could do. You feel like a real rock star up in these beautiful stages, filled up with 1,000 people in there. It's nice.
Yeah, especially those older ones, man. I mean,
That's
performing
great.
on that same stage with Abbott and Costello that they did. And I mean, going even further back, I mean, the
Houdini. I was
history.
on one stage in Texas recently where
Oh, that's
this is
dope.
really cool. Houdini, they said, played there. They showed me a trap door that they said apparently he made him do it before he came. And then on the back wall of the stage, he had this old brick wall, and there were old posters and that people would put up when they were touring in the day. And there was still a piece of Houdini's poster, almost like this one here. And that's not original, but it had, you could see the H and the D on the wall still where he had put his poster up. That's what they did. People would just stick their posters up on the back wall when they were touring. So there's a piece of Houdini's poster still up in the back of the stage, which is really cool.
And
Just to know he was on that stage and there I am doing my little card tricks is really pretty cool.
he put his poster up to his own poster.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
that's man.
the history of these theaters are amazing. And then, then all of them claim that they're haunted, which I'm a skeptic of that, but still, it's still kind of fun to hear the stories and get spooked a couple of times. I was in a couple of the theaters by myself setting up, and like you hear something or see something or feel something. It's like, wait a second, I'm gonna take a break and go to lunch now until everybody else comes back. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, was there any haunted ones like that really got to you, maybe, that you since you've been.
I'm a real skeptic, and it's funny, as my kids got older, now my wife will come with me. She loves this stuff. We always have the inn backstage to take tours, and the people there at the theaters will take us in these tours and down in the boiler rooms and just crazy neat. One place had a jail cell down below the theater because it used to be the old city courthouse, so they had the old jail cell down there, and it was pretty cool. One particular one that does stand out, it was about a 120-year-old building theater. And the green room, the dressing rooms were up behind the audience, up behind the stage, up in the audience, right? So I'm up there and putting stuff away, and there was a styrofoam cup on the table, and it just shot off the table. Now, there was no fan, there was no window open, and I used to tour with the juggler, and I thought he was just messing with me. So I said, "Fred, Fred, Fred," I started screaming his name. And I hear him say, "What?" He's down on stage, which is clear across, I mean, all the way on the stage. So he wasn't anywhere close. So nobody was there. So I came running downstairs, and the theater owner looked at me. He's like, "It looks like you've seen a ghost." I said, "Well, maybe I did." He said, "Well, that's Lucy. She's our resident ghost, and she lives up there by the green room." And I said, I'm still a skeptic. It's like, Come on, come on.
Wow.
But I don't know what the hell happened with the cup, though. I saw it fly across the room, which was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm
Wow.
still thinking there's an as a magician, my brain starts thinking, how? Got to be an explanation. Maybe it was on the edge. Maybe I saw it jump. I don't know, but something did happen there. A little bizarre.
It was Lucy. It was
Yeah.
hungry. Yeah, I believe it was Lucy.
Yep.
Yeah, they'd be doing that because, well, I mean, I do another podcast. It's called Spirit Talkers, and
Oh.
we talk about paranormal. We talk about cryptids. I mean, we go deep into a lot of Native American lore as well. And so,
Oh.
yeah, and
Well,
so.
there's another one. I'll send you the video when we're done, where I have a huge collection of old ventriloquist dummies. So I've got all these old antique dummies and some really old ones, like 100 years old. And I have this glass case that they're in, one of like about five or six of them in this glass case. And every time I would come home from a show, I'd go back in the we call it the dummy room. And I'd go in there and I'd see like one of the dummies' heads would be tilted all the way down. And I'm like, and I finally thought, hey, my wife or my kids are really messing with me. So when I left, I set up a little motion camera, a little hidden one across the room for one of the shows. And I came home and you actually see the dummy sort of move by itself. And I put it on YouTube. I put this on YouTube where you see this dummy's head just go. And again, I thought I'd catch my kids or my wife messing with me, but it wasn't. And again, maybe the head was just tilted and the vibration of the house, a small little earthquake. I don't know. And it just fell. I don't know. But if you look at the video, it's pretty creepy looking, really. When I got back, I looked at like day one, day two, and then day three, you see this head just go. Pretty weird. Yeah, I can send it to you. It's online. You just type in like Andy Gross, creepy dummy moves by itself or haunted dummy. You'll find it on YouTube.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah,
I'll check it out.
it's a little strange.
Man.
Yeah.
And yeah, none of the other ones moved. Just
No,
that one.
no. And I took that one out of the case and I even went through the whole thing with it and looked at it and nothing. But it was funny the comments. People were making, comments like, burn that thing, burn the whole house, get out of there, leave, go. Burn your whole house after seeing that. I was like, I don't think so. I'd burn that dummy so fast, some guy said, I'd have that thing in my fireplace. That's all right. Yeah. It looks creepy. You'll see it.
Gonna check it out.
Yeah.
Will everybody know, like the details about the show on Saturday in Tulsa, if
Yeah,
you
Saturday, the Tulsa Comedy Club, two shows. I think it's 7 and 9. So excited to do that. Comedy clubs I love because you can have a lot of fun. We use a lot of audience volunteers. So it's really fun for me because each show is different for me too, because I never know how the people are going to react, what they're going to say, and a lot of improv. But definitely you'll see comedy, magic, ventriloquism, and some mind reading. Which are we going to do any tricks now? Any mind?
So yeah, I was gonna,
Do you want one?
no, wait, hold on. So yeah, that's the info about the show, and then we'll say it again. But Andy's got some tricks that he's gonna do on here,
Yeah.
maybe some mind reading tricks.
Yes.
I have no idea. We just started it. He's got some stuff. I have no idea what's gonna go on.
Yeah, now it's
So.
important. You're right. It's important to announce that we've never set anything up. We didn't talk about this. It would be silly. So he's going to see the trick for the very first time, just like you guys would see it. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. Now imagine that I have four queens, four cards here, okay? Imagine there's four queens. I'm going to remove two of them. One, two. I have two of them here. I'm going to give you a free choice. Did I remove both of the red ones or do I have both of the black ones? Your choice, reds or blacks?
Reds.
Boom, you're right. You were 100% right. Drop the reds. That leaves us the blacks, right?
Yes.
Again, your choice. Here's what I did. Earlier today, I took one of those and I turned it over. One of the four queens I turned over in this pile right here. Do you want spades or clubs?
Clubs.
You want clubs? You can change right now. Clubs?
Clubs.
Check this out. Watch, watch. Now, here's the thing. I was so sure that you would say that. It's the only red one.
Look at
Not only the only red one, I didn't even bring these.
that. Oh, look at, oh, okay.
Great choice. Pretty crazy, right?
I should have switched it.
Gonna switch. I'd have been in trouble. Then I would have said, yeah. We lost our internet connection. Sorry. Okay, here's another one for you. All right. This one, let me see if I can do this one. A deck of cards. I want you just to think of any card. Just in your mind, think of a card, and I'm gonna name it. Ready? You thinking of one? Okay,
Yes. Yeah.
I'm gonna name it. I'm gonna name it Paris. Let me explain. Watch. Check this out. You don't like this. Okay, so look, I have a deck of cards. Now each card, what I did, what was your card actually? What is your card?
The seven hearts.
Seven of hearts. Look, I'm gonna go through and find. Oh, there it is right there. Second card down, seven of hearts. See it? Right here. I'm gonna take it out and I'm gonna place it here. Check this out. I place it right here, right in view. Everything's still in view. Now look, I named your card Paris, right? In
Yeah.
fact, I named every card. Can you see this one? I'm gonna stand up for this. I named this one. Can you
Oh.
see it? London, Philadelphia, Rome, Sydney, Las Vegas, Amsterdam. Look, I named all Los Angeles, Boston, Denver, Singapore, Nashville, Dubai, New Orleans, New York. I named every card in there. But I named your card, the Seven of Hearts. What I name it? Paris.
Paris. What? Okay.
Pretty crazy, right?
Oh, yeah. Everybody, for real, this is our first time meeting. I had no idea the tricks that were going to happen. These are my real answers.
Yeah. Okay.
Is insane.
I got one more to blow your mind. One more. This is a big one. Let's see. Let me do this one. Okay. Use this. All right. Deck of cards. Again, I just reversed one card in this deck. One card and only one card is reversed. I want you to think of any card in your mind. You have it? Okay, so everyone will know what is a card you're thinking of right now.
Ace of Spades.
Are you sure? Kind of a common one. You can stick with it or change. See, I'm giving you the option again.
I'll stick with it.
You stick with the Ace of Spades.
Ace of
Watch.
Spades.
Real clean. Pulling the cards out. I'm going to go through the cards one by one, looking for one card and only one card reversed, right? Right near the middle, there's a card reversed out of all of these. And it is. Pretty crazy, right? You know, it was amazing. When COVID happened, we started doing Zoom shows. So we would do a Zoom show like this, and it pretty neat. I had to come up with different ideas and different ways that you could read someone's mind, you know, and do a card trick that would amaze them. And it works like those. Even on a Zoom like this. Fun.
Yeah. That was real, everybody. Like, for real. Like, I should have switched it. But
Yeah.
my thought was, I'm going to make it kind of simple at the end, Ace of Spades. And then the
Yeah.
song just stuck in my head from Motorhead.
Now here's where the comedy bit comes in too. So let me do this one for you. Hold on. I'll show you. With a comedy man. Let's see if we can do it. I have never done this one on a show like this, but let's try it. Okay, so I have a prediction in here. Made a prediction. I want you to think of any four-legged animal. Made like a drawing, and it's in here. You think of any four-legged animal. It can be big, small, exotic, whatever you want, as long as it has four legs. Do you have it in your mind? What are you thinking of?
A lion.
Boom, a lion. Right there. That's a lie.
Is.
Okay. You got one more. Now think of a letter in the alphabet, A to Z. Any letter. You got it?
Yeah.
What do you got?
B.
In Japanese.
Okay.
Okay. Last one. Last one. No. So silly. I know it's ridiculous. Okay. Last one. Now think of yourself in a grocery store. You're walking up and down the aisles. And you stop on aisle number three because aisle number three has all the cereal. You know how they have rows and rows and rows of cereal? Lots of cereal, right? Think of a cereal. Do you have one?
Yeah.
What cereal are you thinking of?
Lucky Charms.
What is it?
Lucky Charms.
You want Lucky Charms? Okay, check this out, watch. Lucky Charms, ready? $2.79, Lucky Charms. Wait a minute. No, no, no. Lucky Charms.
Oh, look at this guy. Okay.
You go.
Oh, man.
Crazy.
That's awesome,
Yeah, it's
dude.
fun stuff.
Wow, man, I enjoyed that so
Yeah,
much.
yeah.
That was awesome. Like I
Good.
said, man, I love that. I love
Thank
magic. I love that. I love all that, dude. That's amazing.
Yeah,
That's
thank you.
amazing.
It's fun.
Yeah.
So, people come out, they have a good time. They really do. I mean, it's just different stuff that I'm doing in there. And don't come to a serious magic show, because it's anything but a serious magic show.
Yeah.
It's got crazy fun magic, but it's all comedy, so like that.
Man, that was awesome, man. Thank you so
Yeah,
much for coming
absolutely. Thank
on,
you.
man. No, thank you for coming on and chatting up with me and talking about everything that you've done and showing some magic and just making my day right here, man. Thank you so much.
You got
And
it.
you're welcome back anytime. Whenever, just let me know. We'll get anything out about what you got going on.
Yeah.
Let everybody know, the show Saturday and maybe, what other cities you're going to be at, coming up within the next week or so.
Yeah, where am I going to? I go to, right after that, I'm looking at my list here. Tulsa, then I go to Nebraska, Kearney, Nebraska. I don't know where Kearney, Nebraska is, but it's
Nice.
a nice theater down there, beautiful theater. And then I go to the upper northwest, like the Oregon and Washington. So, yeah, kind of all over.
Yeah, yeah.
Because right after that, I go back to Pennsylvania and New York. So it's like, here, I want to be here and then back over there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, everybody, go check them out. Let everybody know where to follow you and keep up with you and everything, man.
Yeah, if they go to, andygrosslive.com, that's the website. Andy Gross Live, not dead, andygrosslive.com. And then on Instagram, it's Andy Gross. And on Facebook, I think it's Andy Gross Live. And TikTok is Andy Gross Live. So most of it is Andy Gross Live.
And YouTube as well.
Yes, and YouTube too, yes. Yeah, if you go to YouTube and just type in Andy Gross, one of the big tricks was magicians split in half. Oh, they call it Split Man. Andy Grove's Split Man. And there's some fun. Did you ever see that
Yeah,
video?
I watched
Okay,
that
yeah.
video.
It's a
Yeah.
fun video. It's been around for a while, and that thing was the first video of mine that went viral, and it helped so much with what I do. I mean, so many people recognize that video. They don't always know it's me, but they see that video and they go, Oh, you're the guy from that video? Because that thing has made its way around the internet, just from Instagram to TikTok to YouTube to Facebook. It's got over 1 billion views now. So it's wild, wild.
Wow.
Yeah. Just
Yeah.
neat, because you get those celebrities to start sharing it. I think I did one where I pulled someone's head off on a bus, and Snoop Dogg shared that one.
Oh,
And
that's
once Snoop
cool.
Dogg shared it, it was like Britney Spears, she shared it, and then Ashton Kutcher, and all these celebrities started sharing it. And once that happens, I mean, you get 1 billion views pretty quick.
Exactly.
Fun. It's fun.
Yeah.
Opens a lot
Well,
of doors for entertainers like us,
and then you do the split man during the show, correct?
Not at this show. It's hard to do without giving anything away. It's kind of a difficult trick to do for angles. I mean, I'm not really cut in half. So it's kind of hard to do at certain venues. And this one, I'm pretty much surrounded, because it's a comedy club. There's no big main curtain. People on the
True.
sides, people could even almost be behind you, which isn't ideal for magic, but the other stuff I make work just fine. And there's some other incredibly cool stuff that I'm doing. So they won't miss that one bit for sure.
Yeah, I only asked that because I thought I seen the trailer of that, the split man
Yeah,
in the trailer.
I
So
do it at
yeah.
most of the larger theaters, like the performing arts venues, when you really have the stage and curtains and proper lighting, then it's so cool. It's such a great trick that I like to only do it at places that'll really, give it justice, that it really shows that trick how great it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's you don't want to do it if you can't do it 100%,
Very
but it
true.
should be
Very
done.
true. Yeah, very true. Well, man, thank you again for coming
Yeah,
on.
thanks.
Man, I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And thank you to your team for reaching out and everything.
I'm glad they did. It was fun.
Oh yeah, this was amazing. I had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs.
Good.
I enjoyed the things you did with me. And everybody go follow him, check him out,
Thank
check
you.
out his show here in Tulsa on Saturday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Tulsa Comedy Club. And get your tickets. They're available at the Comedy Club, I'm assuming, and your website.
Yeah, at the Tulsa. Just go to TulsaComedyClub.com. That's it.
Okay, Tulsa Comedy Club. Get your tickets. Don't miss a show. Like he was saying, he comes around Tulsa. He knows the area. So you might see him out and about. You might see him making a video somewhere. I don't know. You know, you might see something going on, you know, before the show.
That's right. I could be now. I might be running around town split in half. I might not be on stage, but maybe, you know, some running around, you may see me.
You may see him. So
on
keep
an elevator,
an eye out.
Screaming, you know, growling at you in an elevator.
Keep an eye out for him. And so thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you.
Everybody, you know, go check him out, man. Amazing stuff happening. Check out the YouTube, TikTok, follow him, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. He's everywhere. And check out Oki Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify. I don't think Google is a thing anymore. Google Podcasts. I don't think I got an email about that, but Apple, Spotify,
right.
Just Google me. You would find Oki Podcast wherever. And, you know, I'm going to make a big comeback here pretty soon. So,
good.
And check. And then also Spirit Talkers, check us out everywhere. Same thing, Apple, Spotify, follow our TikTok, follow our YouTube, subscribe to it, please. We're coming back soon. A lot of things have happened, but everybody, thank you so much for listening, and thank you again, Andy, and we'll see you later.
All right. Thanks. All right.